Are you ready to get serious about building content sites and building a profitable business online? Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. We bring you the latest field-tested tips, tricks, and strategies for building a profitable online asset. We interview industry experts, share customer success stories, and reveal our own experiences working on hundreds of sites to inspire and motivate you to make something happen. Let's do this.
Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. Today, we have the team from Lasso, we have Andrew, and we have Jamie. And we go into new features dropping about Lasso to help you make more money. They've got some cool things in the works, including a special discount for Niche Website Builders listeners. If you go down in the description, 25% off your first 3 months, plus 30-day money-back guarantee, so you can try it risk-free. So check that out. I know I'll be jumping on it. But we go into Lasso's features, but not just that. We go into some practical things for you, the listener, in terms of affiliate marketing. We go into how Jamie structures his product reviews, how he structures his roundup reviews, what he's doing new there, how you can integrate Lasso into those, how you can figure out which products are the ones making you money. And that is the big thing about using Lasso. It's not just having clicks go and okay, I'm selling X amount of product, but I don't know which page it's coming from. I don't know which call to action it's coming from. Lasso lets you get down into the granular level so you can see which one of your links and products is making money on which pages. And that will help you make more money in the long run because you can move products around. You can steer people towards certain products. You can have call to actions in certain places on your page. You can also A-B test them. So lots to go through in here. We dive into a lot of detail within that. And again, don't remember, discount code down in the description. So sit back and enjoy.
This episode is brought to you by Niche Website Builders, an agency dedicated to helping people just like you build profitable content sites. Niche Website Builders are the hands-off content site marketing agency you always wished existed. It's run by content site marketers for content site marketers, and they help both investors and individuals alike build profitable online properties. They provide a fully outsourced approach to content creation, link building, and done-for-you website builds, the same approach they use on their own six-figure portfolios. For example, their content packages come with a proprietary keyword research process, are written by in-house native English speakers, formatted using templates proven to convert, and uploaded to WordPress with affiliate links added so that all you need to do is hit the publish button. Check them out at nichewebsite.builders/show. That's nichewebsite.builders/show and fill out the form to get coupon codes for 10% more content or a 10% discount on links with your first order sent right to your inbox.
All right, welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. Today we have two guests. I think this is the second podcast I've had two guests on at once on Niche Website Builders. So we're making waves here on the podcast, but we have Andrew, we have Jamie, we're talking about Lasso today. So let's start with you, Andrew. Do you want to maybe give a brief background about yourself? Then we'll move on to Jamie because we've had Jamie on the podcast before too.
Yeah, sure. Once upon a time, I was a data engineer for some investment banks, iHeartRadio, created a personal finance site on the side because I wanted, you know, that sweet, sweet passive income. That was like the beginning. Yeah. Passive. I don't even know what that is. Anyways, wound up like leaving my job, doing it full time, creating other sites, but I'm a dev. And so I built like all these automation tools to make my life easier, monetize it, scale the team. My friends kind of begged me for it, and packaged it into Lasso, which is our affiliate marketing automations that really help us like massively scale our team and monetize better.
Nice. Jamie, do you want to jump in there with your background too?
Sure. I mean, I was on here a few months ago, and so I have no background. I graduated from uni. I started writing blogs, got into it, and now here we are.
And now you're making bank.
It depends what you define as bank. Some people wouldn't. I'm very happy. To me, this is bank. This is bank times 10, but some people will disagree.
No, fair enough. All right, let's start with the main topic of this podcast, and that is Lasso creating new features. So, Andrew, do you want to maybe dive into... Okay, Lasso, the tool, what Lasso actually does and what it does now, and then how these new features that you're implementing are going to essentially improve the product. And I guess the end outcome or goal or what you're trying to achieve by doing this in terms of the tool itself.
Yeah. So one thing I realized, like when I was building my first site, Listen Money Matters, is how much time I want to pouring into affiliate marketing, but not like I want to sell this, you know, finance product. It was really like the admin management pieces, things like, we'd publish a review on a product. We discuss a product maybe in like year one or two of the business, but build a relationship in year five or six. And so I'd want to monetize it across the site, but would have like no idea or like recollection that I mentioned it, which article. And so I originally built essentially like a database of all the links on my site. So if I, you know, wanted to monetize with Betterment or whatever, a financial product, it could easily deploy across the entire site. Or if they jumped from like Sharesell to Impact, like those changes would be easy. But that was like level one internet, when I think text was basically all you needed. Like people like clicked text links and bought, which is even shocking now. Now I don't even know if people read articles. They kind of just like scan to the answer. And we slowly learned that with our sites, which is where the display boxes came. Because, you know, if you're looking for like best standing desk, more times than not, you don't want to know like the rate of speed the desk rises. You're just like, tell me the best or the budget so I can buy. And so adding those to our sites was like a moment, because these like really quick sessions converted into actual sales. And then last was really wound up becoming the marrying of the two, where it's like the front end piece to drive click-throughs and sales. And then the back end automations to make sure like you're not losing money you should have earned anyways with clicks that are already happening.
No, fair enough. Do you want to go into some of the new features of Lesso then and how they improve that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we started with like a single display, you know, added a list, which is, I have a site called Gift Lab, giftlab.co, and it's just a bunch of gift lists. And so we make that really easy to build. We expanded to tables. So comparison tables, or, you know, like how Wirecutter does, like these are.
I've seen those tables. Those tables look damn nice too.
Thanks, man. They're great on mobile. We probably took way too long to push it out, but we're like obsessed with it looking nice, you know, functioning well. But what I'm really, really excited about, it's going into beta with our customers at the end of January. And then in February, we're opening it to anyone who's a customer, an annual customer. It's performance. So if you kind of like think of the affiliate stack, like level one's like putting the links in your site. But a lot of people, it's almost like superstition how they build their sites. Like, I put this button in the middle. I put this display here. It works. I think it's the best. And so I'm a data engineer, and I want you to like know definitively based on the data that this is what will convert the best. So performance is really the marrying of what's happening on your site with, you know, like the clicks versus the revenue. And so It's a beautiful dashboard of all your clicks, views, conversions in one spot, focused on action. So it's not like numbers for the sake of numbers. It's a dashboard that kind of like indicates you should do this because this is working.
Interesting. Okay. So if I'm going to sum that up, so it's for anyone listening to understand. So I can put a call to action on a page, and it's going to tell me which, say I have multiple of them, it's going to tell me which one was clicked. And will it also tell me which one led to the conversion as well?
Yeah.
Okay. And then within that, I guess is, because my other question on that is, okay, so you've got a list, you have a dashboard for all your stuff, for your clicks. Can I use something like that? So for example, I use a page builder. I know people are going to, I think I say this most of all, people are going to come at me because I use a page builder, like side speed, man, but fuck it, it works. And it looks nice. Can I embed Lesso stuff on a page builder page? Or is it only Gutenberg?
Yeah, absolutely. So day one of the business, that was like a hard no. But so many people use Elementor or GeneratePress or all of them. And we support everything. Whatever legacy tool made in the 90s that you used, like Prelinx or whatever, we import seamlessly. So like your old version one internet boxes will just be like automatically upgraded. And if we don't support it, we have like if you check Trustpilot, people rave about our customer support. Tell us, we build it. That's like our kind of internal approach.
Nice.
That's how they got me when I was a customer as well. I just didn't like intersperse in the middle of this. When I first just joined with one of my sites, I thought like we were coming from a very strict aesthetic, like even just from like the look. They imported fine because we were using just a standard generate blocks style thing. And I wanted them to look a certain way that we'd had built very expensively prior. And literally a few hours pass, I get sent an email with some CSS that just copied and pasted in. Looks beautiful. And that's the Lasso experience right there.
Oh, look at this. Okay. So people listening might be wondering, what the fuck is Jamie doing on this podcast if this podcast is about Lasso? So let's start. So Jamie, let's start. Why are you here? How did you get involved with Lasso and why? Because as we mentioned, you've got your own sites. You're making a good living doing that. Why do this?
So I've been a big fan of, and a rare backer of affiliate marketing over display ads as a business model on Twitter, for example. I think most of it goes very heavily towards display ads. And I think that we need some more soldiers in the war on the other side, because I think, and I've been saying this for months, I think that in terms of where we can see things going with AI, with how things are going to be eroded over time, how profitable a page is, affiliate marketing is where I think, if I'm being completely selfish and trying to give all the people the information, there's a brighter future than ads. Not to mention the fact that third party cookies are a bit frustrating and volatile right now with how that's going to go. And so I've been advocating, and I think affiliate marketing is great. And so anything that can make me more money, purely selfishly, as someone who is ruthlessly transactional, I'm all up in there. Give me the money. Let me take it home and spend it and invest it and everything else. And so I was having some problems with one of my sites, and Andrew messaged me and he was helping me completely for free. And I was very grateful for that. And then I started using the products and I thought it was a great product. I'd been using Generate Blocks before to build them, like custom grids and stuff like that. But it created real quality control issues because there was a lot of little things to tweak. And so we had templates that would like have pros and cons for like different niche sites. And so they'd be about different topics. And so like I'd go onto old pages for like, let's say vacuum cleaners, and it'd say like, ah, oh, this is the best video game. And it's like, ah, oh, like they haven't changed it properly. And like, well, this is like not right. And so not only do the Lasso blocks look a lot better, but they save so much time in just quality control and making things simpler. And the tracking is so much better. It just makes it like I've never been an organized niche site owner. And so the organization, the time saving, is that something that I didn't even really factor for when I first became a customer. But one of the things that made me become an advocate was just the whole package of saving time as well as making more money. And so I get a DM from Andrew. Thank you for thinking of me, by the way, if we haven't actually had this discussion on air before. And he mentioned, did you want to get involved with the marketing side on Lasso? We had a chat and I think if it was just displays, I'd have gone, I'm a big fan of the product, but no, thank you. But when I started hearing about performance and some of the crazy cool things that I think that Lasso is going to help change the lives of affiliate marketers with, I thought this is such an incredible project. And about halfway through the first call, I was like, let's fucking do it, man. Let's go.
So how would you implement, I guess, this performance feature, Jamie, on your sites? What would you do to make the most of something like this?
Sure. So this will, for me, again, purely selfishly, help me make more money, because right now we have a body of work and, you know, let's say there's 500 pages. It's difficult if you're just going, all right, that was published on whatever dates ago. That might need an update now, but that's not the most effective way to do something, because there's more nuanced ways of being able to tell, like, yeah, you might get traffic, you might get rankings, you might be old, but what's the spare capacity between how you can tweak things and what actually having the impact? I don't know what of my pages, they might have traffic, they might have high rankings, they might look good on Ahrefs, but I don't know how much actual cash money they bring home. Being able to isolate that and then being able to optimize from there as well. For example, let's say I have a top 3 picks on a popular page and I think, all right, it's ranking well, it's getting traffic. we're all good. But actually, the third one, unbeknownst to me, is a waste of time because it's not doing anything. These can then, with data to know what's not working and what is on a per page level, can be used to really maximize your earnings and increase the value of a page view. One of the things that I just really want to hammer home is that while there are difficult things coming with AI and stuff, these tools that are making use of ever improving data and technology will increase the value of a page view as to, in my opinion, offset that. And so I think that it's not as dangerous and dark as people think it's going to be.
Nice. Andrew, I'm going to ask you some questions from the point of view, someone has no idea what Lasso is or what it does. I've dabbled a little bit with it, but nothing crazy. So I've got some questions for you too. So can you A-B test these product boxes and tables?
You can, actually, and you could do that right now. So Google Optimize is a free tool, and all of the Lasso displays have unique classes in them for A-B testing. We do this with our site Gift Lab. And so you can try, and maybe it's one box, you're changing a title or a button copy or just a whole layout. It's really easy to deploy. And our support can help you with that. We have a lot of customers who want to test specific changes in high traffic pages.
Okay. And I know you've got a bunch of templates as well that you can kind of just use in terms of your product boxes and tables. Are there templates within that that you've found that do well? And if so, are there certain design elements or call to actions or layout elements that you've found that somehow boost, click-through rates?
Yeah. So I think some things people feel like they intuitively know or they make a lot of sense because they work. Summaries at the top, you know, and then details later. For example, these are top picks. You don't even need a description or anything, just like budget, whatever. Then you can go down into the post and it would be, you know, pros, cons, stuff like that. Things like saying where a button goes, like some people do like check price. That does not perform anywhere near as well as like buy from Amazon, buy from REI, or some like really indicative of where they're going. And I think you really have to like line it up with the intent of the content. Something that we've learned with customers, some of our larger customers, is like more words is not better. Some people jam like an insane amount of words on a page, but a lot of our customers, maybe like 800, 700 words per page, but it's really hyper-focused. And for example, my site with Gift Lab, if someone wants to find a gift for their mom, they don't want to read a 1,300-word article on it. The same that you don't want to read a 1,300-word article if you want to make like a souffle. You're just like, give me the recipe so I could do it. And so like our list display is just like a list, scannable, optimized. It gets rich snippets and it serves intent, which is just like, get me to the gift so I can buy it.
Wait, you mean you're talking about list display as in almost like the box is almost like the whole article?
So essentially, if you looked at it, you wouldn't even realize that it was a single box. You'd maybe think if there were 20 items, it was 20 boxes. But what happens is when you create affiliate links in Lasso, you can organize them. So you add your information, your description, maybe a rating, whatever. Then you could use it in a table or you could use it in a list display. You don't have to like copy and paste your description or remember or keep things consistent. We kind of store that data so you could deploy it elsewhere. So say you have a gift site like I do, and you have this, you know, item that sells really well. You can add it in multiple lists across your site, but you only have to add it to Lasso once, and the details will carry to all the different locations.
How does Lasso get the information back from the affiliate program, whether a sale is made? Are there certain programs that it can't connect to in terms of, I'm assuming it's some kind of API or something, but are there certain programs or things that it can't connect to?
Yeah, so we connect with their APIs. And right now we have 6. By the time this goes live, we'll probably have about 25. Team can push out about 10 to 15 integrations a month. And basically we're going through our customers and we're prioritizing most revenue first, and we're letting people come on. And if we don't have their integration, we let them use it for free until we have like 80% of their revenue covered. But we're just kind of like scaling that out like really quickly.
Yeah. I've got something potentially unique then for that. So I partnered with the company. They don't have an affiliate program, but they've just given me a discount code, and they track discount code usage through their, I think it's essentially through Stripe. Is that something that could be connected through Lasso to be tracked?
So that I would consider that an integration. To be honest, things like Mediavine are, you know, in our sites. And so we're really narrowly focused on affiliate revenue. And if that was a large portion of your revenue and you were a customer, we would prioritize it. And to be honest, we already have a Stripe integration API for our own internal customer dash that we use to kind of know, you know, what customers are big. So it actually wouldn't take us much time to do that.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, like if it's meaningful revenue for you and you're a customer, like that's our North Star, is to help you kind of collate that. Gotcha. And make the right decisions.
Gotcha. And another question on the product boxes. So obviously, when you create a product box, you can kind of redeploy that over your site, I'm assuming. So for example, I'm promoting the best vacuum cleaner on one page, and I'm promoting the same one on another page, but I want to change elements within that box. I can do that. I have the same box, but different elements in each box, almost like this page, because it targets this page, and then this box has slightly different, I guess, text or features in it to marry to that page, but still the same template?
Absolutely. So when you add a display, it'll by default have its most basic components. If it's a table, that's, you know, more custom, and so it'll have everything that you've added. That said, for any deployment of a display or a table, you can customize it in that post for that post. So if you added pro cons and you saved it into Lasso, but there was one post where you just wanted to like change it only for that post, we have like in the Gutenberg in the sidebar or short code overrides. Our support would help you if you're just like, I don't know, I don't want to do it. But yes, you could customize it everywhere, every which way.
Man, I feel like I'm on a legit sales call now. You're selling me on this. You're selling me.
You're
on,
asking
on
me, like, teeing me up over here.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, I really need to think about doing some of this because I've got plenty of pages that get traffic, and I don't. I mean, you have, if it's Amazon and stuff and some things, you know kind of what's coming in, but you don't know exactly what's being clicked where. You don't know which is the converting product. I've got pages. I don't know where on the page it's converting, all that kind of stuff. Like I've got tables, call to actions, but could be any of them. So now, yeah, you've got my brain thinking. But I wanted to know from Jamie as well. I think this might be helpful for the listeners too. Are you using the Lasso tables or any kind of tables? And what are you putting in your tables at the top of your affiliate articles?
So my personal structure is single, like individual product links will be single reviews naturally, unless there's multiple different iterations of it.
Yeah.
Versus articles get a second, unless there's like three things being compared over the X versus Y versus Z, but usually it's two. And then three go at the top of like best buyers, guys. It might be a top six, top seven, but the three that stand out get in there. And so what I'll usually do is use, in this particular situation for a best buyer's guide, I'll know the top three. I usually try and put them in so you capture the widest variety of like consumer segments. In some cases, it will be just two because I know there's only a budget pick and a premium pick. But you know, if you know your niche, you'll know which way to base this to try and encourage conversions. But in some cases you can use a third option, even if it's like only cheap options, and then pick a really expensive product that's just there to anchor expectation to they're more likely to buy your mid-priced or low one. And then you can very much like inform people and like sort of trigger them into certain different actions with the signage that's available within the banners of each Lasso table as well. So you can have in clear like text, this is the premium pick, the budget pick, the top pick, which you can also sort of just like, you can move eyeballs depending on the star ratings, you can move them. They'll also give you product schema and pros and cons schema via which you pick in instantly and embed that for you with each of the you know, picks that you do for the three options in a top buyer's guide. So if you know you've got a top pick and you want people to go there, you might have the best conversions, it might be the best products, you can put that all the way up to 4.8, 4.9 stars, whatever you do to weight. And then 4.9. If you want to...
yeah, that's the go-to.
Five is sketchy, right? It's too salesy. You've got to go 4.7 or so. Oh, you're already doing it. Too keen, mate. Too keen.
Dude. And it's a five to me. It's a five.
But then if you want to turn them a certain way, you can have your their ones there. If you want to use one to anchor expectations away towards the main one, you might want to have that as a 4.1, 4.2. And then, you know, I'm sure there's better research that I don't know about for specific numbers that convert well. But you can use a variety of different methods, from the banners for how you want to segment, to the pros and cons, to any custom values that you want to add in, which also makes it easier to do for the future, because you can add a custom value, for example, size, weight, or whatever you use, like, you know, and then that will save for future uses. The pros and cons and the star ratings are a good way of just sort of sculpting where you want the eyeballs to go, and there are lots of ways that you can do that to maximize your conversions.
Are those, is that product schema, that star ratings, does that show up on Google too?
Yeah.
Oh yes, I like that. Any way to game it, any way to get, because you see it often, it just takes up so much more real estate, the description, when you've got that star rating under it.
Yeah, yeah. And they're showing pros and cons a lot now, especially the pros.
Oh yes. Do you need schema to show the pros and cons, or is Google still picking that out?
Sometimes I've noticed that without, it's picked up, but I don't see why you wouldn't take advantage of just getting that embedded right there in the schema.
Okay, I'm going to talk to you more about this as well, off air as well, Jamie, at some point, because, man, you're leaning me towards getting less so now, because I need to know this data, man. I need to know. it's stuff that other programs just won't give you. But for anyone who's listening to this and okay, I'm sold, I want to do this. If you have something already set up, so I've got all my links just through Pretty Links, going out to whatever. I guess transfer over to using Lasso, is that quite time consuming? Because I'm assuming you're going to have to set everything up, put all your links into the boxes, and go through all of your articles to be able to do that.
Couldn't have asked you to ask us better questions, really.
So, dude, I'm early on. I'm like the new sales rep for Lasso now. Okay, yes. Get out. I'm in.
Early on, that was definitely a sticking point. And, you know, a lot of our customers, like Jamie, it's not like Jamie has like 10 products, like hundreds, thousands, yeah, per site. So we import from every tool. And it's these things, we're not going to just like import into Lasso and then you're effed. We'll revert back. So if you don't love us, we don't want to like hold you hostage. But it's like literally a one click thing, or, you know, we could do all of them, or you could just do like item by item. If you want to like dip your toes in, we're going to win you because we're awesome.
Gotcha.
Even if you're like, you know, you've used like something like AAWP for a long time, but you want the versatility that comes with like non-Amazon programs or the better looking displays, one click import all the way through from any tool you can imagine, basically.
Awesome. Are there any limitations on like clicks and things?
No.
No.
Just wanted to double check, because I know some programs do that. I know some programs do that, don't they? They charge you the beginner plan, you get like 5,000 clicks or something, and then you have to upgrade to get like 10 or unlimited or something.
We don't know if you're earning $1,000 a click or 10 cents a click. It's not our business.
Yeah.
We're just here to make you make more money.
Awesome. And it's interesting. I know you mentioned earlier about the product pages, about being, you know, you don't want a 1,300 word article to buy your mom a gift for her birthday. And I'm fully on board with you there. I mean, a lot of my individual reviews now are like 600 words, just because there's nothing else I can write about the damn product after you cover a few things, and it's just fitting in the different call to actions in the right place. But I want to know as well, Jamie, with your individual product reviews, how has your structure of those maybe, or how are you doing them? How have they potentially changed? So I know mine, I'm going like short introduction, straight into the pros and cons. So everything that was down at the bottom is down at the top. Straight into pros and cons. If I have a discount code, straight to the discount code, then straight to the call to action, then into the review. How are you doing, I guess, your structure?
We've just built something new into the site that is like an excerpt that also generates if a non-zero value is in these. So you can have an instant TLDR that's like a summary of the entire thing. Mm-hmm. Obsessed with quick and helpful and whatever, at the sacrifice of like people actually reading all the way through. We'll do it for Google. So there's that. Then you have, you know, we still have intros because we haven't gone back and deleted them all. Then you have main Lasso block, and that can contain a lot. For a single product review, I would have a more detailed block, Lasso block, because it's more just focused on that one product and the different aspects of it, and there's probably more detail. Rather than in a comparison post, you might have three that, I mean, there's less real estate per thing, right? But also it's more of a differentiation between, rather than all eyes on this one product. And then you can get into sort of the different values and that you're comparing it over in different H2s or H3s. But that's how I'm doing single product reviews now with the new sort of auto-generated TLDR. But I haven't filled a lot of stuff in yet. I think it's like a whole process to go through and add them all to everything.
Gotcha. And then you're, oh, sorry, Andrew, you go.
Yeah, I want to tack on to Jamie's TLDR bit with like an analogy. So on YouTube, you know, and a lot of people are looking at like audience retention on videos and stuff like that. And YouTube have these chapters built in where you can, you know, skip to a certain part of the video. And the idea, I think, initially was like, well, I want you to watch my entire video, you know, akin to I want you to read my entire article. But for Google, like a well-performing video, if you skip to the last chapter and consume in its entirety, you know, and complete the video, like that's good. That's a good signal. And so in your article, you should be able to skip easily to the part that people want, because as long as they get what they need out of it, you've served the intent. And that's what Google rewards.
No, those are good points to add there. Instead of filling it with fluff, even if, I mean, them leaving your page for an affiliate link or to purchase something is or should be a good signal too, right? Because you essentially led them to the sale.
It's the goal of the sale that you make. If you make a best whatever product or a review thing, your goal is to make a sale. Yeah. And I think that that's understood in the algorithm now.
Yeah. So how do you do your roundup pages in it in terms of your structure?
Me?
Yep. You.
All right. I haven't done any TLDRs yet, but I'll have to think about how that differs here. Like, quick intro that mentions, I'm not sure if I spoke about it on here, but I've spoken about the SPIA way of introducing articles and like quickly imposing yourself as an expert whilst also being likable and also sort of getting all the building blocks in there that, depending on like how high ticket and how high activation energy the good is, they're ready to go and buy it. You need less for like cheaper goods or like table salt, you know, it's just like it's all the same. Sorry if anyone's a big table salt fan and they're not happy about that one, but you know, it's different to selling someone like an RV, right? You need to do much more building before you stick the CTA in front of them. So that depends on how high ticket the product is.
Okay.
Then we've got the, you know, the quick introduction that goes in there, and then we'll give the big lasso graphic, try and get the key differentiation points that would make you allow someone to make a confident value judgment on which they most self-identify with as regarding which segment they are. You know, clearly statement, like I mentioned, budget pick, premium pick, best for X, best for Y type of person. Then a couple more sentences, then we get to the a different roundup block, which has all of the actual options that may not have been included in the top pick blocks. Though we're trying to thin down the amount of products to the smallest possible, just because you want to avoid like decision paralysis. If a product isn't the clear best for a certain type of person, and again, you'll need the niche knowledge to crack which one is. Like, if one is the best for like Mac and Linux and one's the best for Windows, you don't need another best for Linux option because you've got one that is both of those segments. So I think people just try and like have entities in there and whatever, and they go too far and they just confuse people and they lose money from it. So there'll be a roundup block, but again, there's not that many. And I'm trying to get to have like the least possible products, have them all in there, and then you go into each one. Then I think the most important, and it depends how high ticket the product is. If it's a very high ticket product, the buying guide, like things to consider when buying X, goes above the products because they'll just need more activation energy to be ready to buy. If it's for 95% of the things I do, it'll go underneath where you can sell in it as well, because you can say, if, you know, the battery life of a vacuum, I don't know if they're even battery powered, but let's say that like battery life is one of the factors you consider, you'd go through that, explain why it's important, explain what you lose, most importantly, like the pain points if you miss out, and then you can say the one that we've surveyed, which has the longest battery life, is, and then another link, and then you can have another individual lasso block in there as well. And you can, if you really want to do with the helpful content, you can then write, you can put your article into ChatGPT, paste the whole thing in, and ask ChatGPT to pick the actual battery life of each one that you've put in the actual thing and get it to summarize it as a table and add that in that particular section of the buying guide as well. And then you've got the comparisons and the lasso block for the best one. And you can do that for each of the things that you compare. And then at the end, right before the FAQs, but after I've done other things, I'll just stick the same top three picks for the lasso block right there again at the end, because it's the last chance to get them in case they were just too lazy to scroll up, but they were ready to make a click. So that's the sort of sandwich of it.
That was such a slick way of working ChatGPT in. Like, we're definitely going viral on this now because you just mentioned ChatGPT.
Dude, you can't do a podcast anymore without ChatGPT coming up somewhere in the conversation. It's just taking over everything. Everyone's on it as the new big thing to write articles, do whatever. But obviously, for outlines and stuff, and for what you mentioned there, that sounds like an epic use case for it. But something I struggle with, and the thing you mentioned there, is you're adding products as best for whatever. So if you're doing best vacuum cleaners, obviously you're going to have a shit ton of long tails. Best for carpet, hard floor, pets, whatever. And you mentioned, okay, you may have a vacuum cleaner that's good for two or three of those. I know I've got an article like that. This thing is best for, you know, two or three different categories, but I still have the other categories in there because I feel like if I don't have them, am I still going to rank for it? So what's your take on that then? Are you just putting, I guess, those entities within the text of that vacuum cleaner? So best vacuum cleaner, this is the best, and you can use it on carpet, hard floor, and it's great for pet hair or whatever. And then you're kind of leaving those ones out?
I mean, you can get the long tails in there if you're motivated enough in the main body of the product review. And you can also say just product name in the H2 or H3 for the product, best for X and Y in the same. It's not a direct exact match, but I really don't think that nowadays it's a bigger problem. I think more importantly, you've got the conversion, and it's a pretty like small thing to lose. If it's that important a keyword and the search intent is willing to show a precise post, you might want to target even more in depth. But if it's a long tail that forms part of the main article, the fact that you've included it, even if not directly in a H2, should mean that you're fine.
Okay, I'm gonna have to look at that. And I know, Andrew, so you mentioned you have a gift site. I guess it's a little different for your buyers, guys, because it's like, are you just doing kind of like a list of roundup of the best gifts for X, or are you still going in and doing best Mother's Day gifts for, I don't know, sewers and whatever else? Is there a difference there between, say, what you're doing versus what Jamie's doing?
Yeah. So Jamie's on Jamie's site, he's going into way more detail, and there's way more friction to the sale because people want to know why. For Gift Lab, it tends to be, you know, like a few days before someone needs to actually get a gift, and it's like gifts for beer lovers, quinceañera gifts for 18-year-old boys. And it's like a list of 26 items. They're like $20 to like $40. And it's just like kind of a, yeah, that picture looks good, click, buy type situation.
Do you find you have to play the game of adding more gifts than your competitors?
So the way that we've won is we didn't go more. We have a rule that the list has to have an odd number, and generally like the 30s is kind of the max that we'll do. But our secret sauce initially is we believe we have good taste in the products we select. But then we use data, and this was things that we've taken over to Lasso, and we're like, oh, let's productize this. That the most click items we bring to the top of the list. The bottom half of the list, we constantly repopulate with new tests. And so the idea is, over the years, our gift lists just perform the best because people voted with their mouse.
I like that. That's the smartest idea for affiliate marketing I've heard someone say on this podcast. No offense to you, James.
Yes.
I like that. I'm just It's just going through my head how I would implement this on my own site in terms of testing and things like that.
I think it would work the same with vacuums or whatever. Yeah. Like, the best is the best, but you know, there's many budget picks. There's also many best. And look, if no one wants to buy the red one or the blah, blah, the one with battery, because I, you know, whatever, then it just, it's not the best because you think it is. If no one clicks it, you know.
Yeah, that and that's also the conundrum, I guess, but with affiliate marketers, if you're in the niche and maybe it's your personal brand and you know this thing is the best, but it's not selling, do you want to sell out enough to promote something else? That's where it gets a little sketchy.
You know, it's maybe not even selling out. Maybe like if you love vacuums and then there must be someone who loves vacuums and they want all these things, like you just may not be representative of the average person visiting, you know? And the thing is, like, even if you're the one who created the niche and you know the most, you can be wrong, and that's okay because you have data and you can support the right decision. At the end of the day, like, if the sale happens, you make money, but you also correctly served intent, so you'll rank as a result.
Yeah,
give the people what they want.
Yeah, you just have to give people what they want. I mean, and it's like the best that they want, maybe not the best in the universe.
Because I know a lot of some of my pages, I know the best for beginners often sells really well because it's usually beginners searching a lot of these, well, probably not for vacuum cleaners, but for other things, beginners searching a lot of these queries anyway. And so they're looking for that thing. Hey, I'm just getting started in whatever it is. I need to find, you know, what is the best this for me as a beginner? And that's just kind of those. Whereas the more experienced people kind of know a bit more about the products and they tend to probably gravitate more towards word of mouth and experience.
I just want to say that if you're 22 years old, you're probably a beginning vacuum user.
That's a fair call. So, Jamie, on your alleged vacuum site that we always talk about on this podcast, you can have best vacuum for beginners on there too.
You'll go with my best beginner vacuum for 22-year-olds, which is a crushing keyword right now.
It has to have good grip so it doesn't get away from you when you turn it on.
Exactly. Easy turn on switch. Have you tested within your Lasso boxes things like button color, border colors, and things like that? Do any of those have an impact on click-through rates and conversions?
So way back, like when I started my site, you know, Obama was like being elected. And I remember reading an article from Optimizely on how for his campaign site, they tested like a red button versus a green button, whatever. And then they were able to, I don't know, increase sales by 5% or something, which amounted to some insane amount of money. And whenever customers ask me this, I just say like, you're not Obama. Like, you just don't have that volume for the butt color to make a difference, you know?
Gotcha. Well, that's easy.
It's very rare.
Because I know a lot of people talk about, hey, you make it the same color as Amazon because people are used to buying through Amazon, or just contrast it to your website so it stands out. So I guess it's a few different ways to do it. I know I just do a contrast basically of my main website colors.
That's what we found when, like, either like your primary brand color or like a second reserved for CTAs, just so like when they're scanning it pops. We've not seen that like the Amazon branded 1990s looking button clicks more than another styled button. It just needs to be clear that that's where the action happens.
Gotcha. Does Lasso deal with shitty quality Amazon image embeds somehow?
Yeah. So one, like the Amazon space is so fascinating because there's so much like lore and like superstition around like what people do and don't do and think is important. So no one really gets kicked out of the Amazon affiliate program unless you're really doing something that you should get kicked out for. Lasso by default pulls the image from Amazon, but we let you override it. We have like a lot of customers that override images and no one's had an issue.
Easy enough then. So just upload your own image and you don't have to deal with the bloody blurry, tiny pictures.
Yeah, you probably know better than the random person who is trying to SEO it in the listings of an Amazon search.
Fair enough. Is there anything else you guys wanted to cover about Lasso? I guess as we get to the near to the end of this podcast.
We're offering you guys, you and your people, a deal. if so just for you guys, we're offering 25% off your first 3 months. So you can come. First of all, and we also have a 30-day money-back guarantee. So the idea is, like, we want you to come in. We're going to help you get to where you need to be. And if you are not, like, absolutely in love with us in 3 months, then leave. We will literally help you export out of Lasso into AWP or whatever hobbyist plugin someone made on the internet.
The shade's being thrown already.
little bit.
No, that's perfect. You guys would have heard this in the intro as well about the discount deal, and it's going to be down in the description too, so you guys can check that out. Check out Lasso at a discounted price for your first 3 months and give it a go and implement some of the things that Andrew and Jamie are doing on their website. See if it makes a difference. Track where your clicks are coming from. See where on the page you need to have your call to actions. A/B test everything you're doing. Do nice tables, nice product boxes, all that kind of stuff. And hopefully increase your revenue. Obviously, that's what we're all here for. That's what Jamie's here for sure. We know that's why he's on this podcast as well, to pump those numbers.
There we go. I also just want to say that, I think that when people opt for an alternative, that's a lot cheaper. And I think that with the amount of potential that is there with affiliate marketing and optimizing your displays, I would say, if I had to guess, I'd say the average person's leaving like 2/3 on the table. And you really just can't, like, when do you quantify that for how much you're like earning? You really, like, it's worth making sure that you've patched, like, this is like a hole in a boat that is like bigger than the boat. And I think that there's a lot of money that we can, and you know, the fun
you
thing
at least
is
stick a vacuum through it.
And I think the funnest thing for me personally is feeling like we can help people get to where they want to be, because I feel like with how democratic the internet is now and how free you are and how accessible SEO and other ways of getting traffic and making money is now, like, it's such a cool feeling to feel like we can help people get to where they want to be. And so we want to make sure that we can help people do that. We really believe, and I personally believe, because I've seen evidence on my own sites, that it's a no-brainer for maximizing how much you make, and it's relatively very affordable. We also want to help people with the next level with performance to be able to get there and come in and do that as affordably as possible, way more affordably than any other options for the sort of any kind of similar performance in sort of services and dashboard style, per page, revenue, aggregation, attribution. And so it's a very exciting time, in my opinion. There's a lot you can do that you couldn't do before in one all-in-one suite of powerful best-in-class tools, and it's a lot to be excited about. Who needs to be scared of AI when you've got all the money on the same number of page views sitting there right now as spare capacity?
Did you quantify how much extra Lasso helped you make on your pages at all?
I'm still optimizing. So okay. I've got a Google sheet that we have a VA that's going through still. And actually, another thing I'll mention is that it becomes so much more manageable, and that, like, if I wanted to make changes that were not, like, for example, let's say I want to switch out a product on a bunch of different pages, it would have been so much more difficult to do that and so much more complex. And I probably have to do it myself originally, but it's so much more easily manageable from a central database of links that are categorized. And so while I'm still rolling it out to get the full data, it means that I can still do loads of other stuff on my sites that would have been days to do if I was still on Generate Blogs. So, yeah. I can have someone else do it whilst I save my more valuable time now, but it's still rolling out at the moment because we've got 1,000 pages across 5 sites that have Lasso right now.
Nice. And I don't think I asked this before. What's your official role at Lasso, Jamie?
I'm heading up the marketing, helping get the software on size.
Awesome. No, that's good. I think that's pretty much, I think I've asked pretty much all the questions that I had regarding Lasso. But if anyone wants to kind of follow what's going on there, learn about what's happening, the new features, everything, where can they go? Maybe Andrew, you can take up this one.
They could follow me or Jamie on Twitter. Our blog, we're publishing constantly. We have an awesome newsletter where, as we're learning from our biggest customers what works, you know, insights from Jamie and other large sites, we include in our newsletter. We try and just, like, give out as much info as for free as possible. So subscribe on the site, follow us on Twitter, or just listen to podcasts. We're going to be
Actually, I just realized on your blog, before we go, you do a lot of like best affiliate programs for X, correct?
Yeah, so there are some people out there that like are selling, you know, oh, these are the top 10 travel blogs. Buy this thing for $99. You can get access. We actually, for years, have paid people to go and collect this information, and they're actually just taking our database that we give away for free and selling it. But if you use Lasso, let's say you have a link to Grammarly on your site, because we have this database of over 10,000 affiliate programs, we'll literally identify that you link to Grammarly and it is not monetized. And like, you should monetize it. This is how much like, a link for Grammarly earns. So it's all for free. You could search it on a public site, but it's also integrated into Lasso. We really don't want you to miss a sale, especially if you're driving clicks there.
Awesome. Oh, good way to end this podcast, guys. I really appreciate both of you coming on and coordinating a time for this. And we'll catch up soon.
Sounds great. Good. Thanks for having us,
James.
Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you're listening. Until the next episode, goodbye.